everybody. Welcome to the Hoovercast.
It's me.
Hi, Dustin. Oh, hey, it's me.
It's me. I'm here.
Is that you, John Wayne? Hey,
Bilgrim.
Speaking of John Wayne, if you like listening to our show, you should share it with people. John Wayne liked to share, I bet. I bet he loved sharing. So maybe he just shared cigarettes. But if you had a little pack of podcasts and someone's like, hey, let me bum a podcast off you, you'd be like, Here's a Hoopercast.
Howdy, Pilgrim.
Howdy. Yeah. Nice hand rolled, unfiltered Hoopercast. Man, I want a cigarette. All right. I will forego that in favor of some slime, because tonight we are talking about the orange years.
Kids can smell from 1,000 miles away when they're being sold a bunch of crap.
If it was a tiny bit naughty, kids would really appreciate that and feel that it was real and it was really for them.
You can't do that on TV.
No one really knew if it was going to end up being successful.
We were the anti-Disney. We were the anti-Saturday morning.
We wanted less acting and we wanted more normal kids.
How come everybody draws babies as these beautiful ones? When they first come out, heads are kind of weird looking, kind of funny looking, and that's why the Rugrats were drawn like they were.
The inmates were very much running the asylum back then. It was way easier to slip stuff in.
They trusted us. I mean, the stuff we got away with was insane.
A little bit from the trailer of The Orange Years. This is a documentary on, what's that, Dustin?
It's Cat Dog.
Cat Dog. All right, so this is a documentary. This is on Hulu. You can watch it now. I believe this came out in 2020.
Yeah.
Who are the filmmakers here, Dustin?
So the filmmakers behind this are Scott Barber and Adam Sweeney.
Okay.
They're listed as director and writers.
Sweeney Todd was a barber.
He was the demon barber of Fleet Street.
Woo!
Look at that.
Watch out now. Zero connection Watch otherwise. Out. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Dustin.
Right. Yeah. So you probably haven't heard those names before, but they've made a couple of other films. Nothing huge, but they've been working. Mm-hmm. The film is called The Orange Years, The Nickelodeon Story. And that's essentially what this is. This is just a background information of like how Nickelodeon got started, what their original mission was, and sort of an overview of some of their original content that they produced in those early years, be it live action or animation. And again, we talked about Space Jam, A New Legacy last time. This is another film where, nostalgia kind of preys heavily. This hits hard for us 90s kids.
Yeah.
the orange years. What did you give this star wise, Hooper?
I gave it 4.
Oh, great. Cool.
Yeah. What'd you give it?
I gave it 3.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. For me, I felt like it didn't give me a ton of information I didn't already know. It did like towards the beginning, but then it just kind of became a collection of like, remember this, remember this, remember this. And it's like, this is always fun to watch for sure. Mm-hmm. But there's not this big burning question that like a doc that I feel like is super impactful would have. Like, what does Nickelodeon mean? Like, you know, let's tackle the big questions here. It's just kind of like, hey, remember Pete and Pete? That was cool. And here's what it was. And so it was fun. And I certainly didn't regret watching it. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really give me any new insight on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. I gave it a 4 because I came into it precisely to revisit a bunch of things I already knew.
Sure.
So, it's weird with documentaries because like I'm pretty generous with them as long as they're not boring, you know? So I think that if people have not seen this and they're about our age, you know, early 30s, and you grew up watching this programming block on Nickelodeon,
yeah,
and all these of great shows,
yeah,
then it's going to be really fun for you to watch, you know, the people who decided to make those shows explain to you what was going on when they decided to make them, why they decided to make them. And yeah, it doesn't get too deep. It's pretty shallow beat by beat, but they're covering a large range of years. And decisions and hit after hit after hit. I didn't come away with it like super informed, but it was more like I appreciate it as an adult who's able to understand network inner workings and ratings and all this other stuff and budgeting and money. And so I had a new appreciation after watching the movie of that programming block, because you realize, like, you know, that there, it was just a bunch of people who were just trying to make really great programming for kids. And there was some stuff I wasn't aware of because I wasn't watching it like morning, noon and night, but like Nick at night. The Magic Johnson stuff, I had no clue they'd done that when they had him on to talk about being HIV positive and that little girl cries.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God. And you know, as an adult, I'm like, that is not only is that good television, but that is very like progressive content to show kids and to, you know, to help the kids who are like her, like Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
I just loved, you know, I thought I audibly laughed when I saw Drake Bell for the first time.
Right.
He's just like, yeah, it was really cool. And I was like, bro, get out of here. He's like, again, yeah, I think kids enjoy this. I'm like, don't talk to me about what kids like, you sick son of a bitch.
Again, he's like the kid that everybody thought was really cool in high school, but he just never left high school. Yeah. He just kept hanging around.
Yeah. That's you thought he was cool. And then he liked that you thought he was cool. And so he just stuck around.
Manipulated you.
Yeah. I didn't see Josh Peck anywhere in this documentary, by the way.
No, he's too busy filming Turner and Hooch.
I thought you were, is he on that show?
He's the lead. Yeah. Taking second billing to that dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was Turner and Hash. That's why I was here. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah, man. I agree with you. I think that there's some cool stuff here. Like, it was fun to revisit like the origins of Rugrats, for instance, or
Hey
the
Dude. Origin of,
Hey Dude.
Hey Dude.
Doug. Like all of these things.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know what? This was a really cool, like behind the scenes look at some stuff that honestly, they're never going to put Doug on DVD and so, or on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have like the behind the scenes featurettes.
Right.
So this is, there is some interesting information here. Even if you could probably go to Wikipedia and get it, it's cool to put the faces with the names and the names with the faces.
Yeah.
But it's really cool, especially as it begins, that they were very clear, I think, pretty much from the beginning, that they didn't want to talk down to kids.
Yeah.
They didn't want kids to feel stupid.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I always resonated with when I watched Nickelodeon was, first of all, yeah, there's a lot of really cool like game show content. So it's kind of promoting being active and healthy.
Yeah.
I remember like towards the end of my time watching Nickelodeon, there was like, these days where they would like turn off programming and there was just like a thing on the screen that says, get outside and play.
Really? Right?
Like, yeah, I remember that. And I was probably in high school and probably too old to be watching Nickelodeon, but whatever.
You're like, God?
What? But yeah, it was literally like they encouraged that from the beginning. They encouraged like creative play. I think
love that.
And I think that you forget, like, because you look at like Rugrats sometimes and you're like, oh, it's like gross out humor and like, oh, they're peeing up in the air and like pooping on stuff. Like that's kind of what your mind goes to.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't that really. I mean, it didn't talk down to kids. It was smart writing. Mm-hmm. Like I remember the Rugrats specials where, you know, they talk to, I guess it's Dee Dee's family and they're Jewish. And so it's you know, they go through the story of Moses and like all of this stuff, but like Tommy plays Moses and, you know, whatever else. Like I remember these stories and they were, interesting, you know. It's like, Dexter's Lab wasn't doing this. Dexter's Lab on Cartoon Network was just being goofy.
Yeah, just comedy.
Yeah, but it was straight comedy. And like Powerpuff Girls, like same thing over on Cartoon Network. It was like, you know, it's comedy, it's action oriented, but it's comedy. And that's about all there is to it. But Nickelodeon always tried to be a little bit deeper. Like Doug was, hey, you know, what is it like to want, you know, to go out with this girl that's in your class, and but you're kind of like, you don't really want to ask her out, but you do, and but yeah. you got this bully that you're dealing with, and like, it's more real world. And I always loved Hey Arnold, because it was like real world problems, even if they were a little bit exaggerated. There's that episode of Hey Arnold that everyone always talks about. It's the Christmas episode where Mr. Wynn gets reunites him with his daughter that he was separated from in Vietnam, and like all of this stuff. It's like, this is actually smart, emotional writing. And again, when you pair that with their live action content and the game show content that encouraged people to get up and be active, it's like this was actually a pretty revolutionary thing that Nickelodeon was doing. And then when you pair that, it was almost like a filmmaking boot camp, an acting boot camp for people like Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell, who could come in, you know, at Universal Orlando and like knock out like all that, and Kenan and Kel and all of that in front of a live studio audience. And, you know, that's just, I think that's paying in dividends, especially for Kenan, who's still doing it.
I know. Right.
Yeah. So it really was special in its heyday. And I hate that a lot of television has gone the way of like, we're just comedy. We're just off the wall comedy. And there's none of that depth anymore, at least is how it feels to me.
Sure.
I love hearing that there was a brain behind Nickelodeon saying, let's be smart about it.
I agree. And I liked, you know, it was a little bittersweet toward the end where they're talking about like, once they started kind of monetizing, and the network tried for a long time not to exploit the child actors or whatever. Yeah. And I guess as they got into more of like animation and less live action, you're not really exploiting children anymore. You're cashing in on valuable branding, you know, that's, you know, that makes the network a lot of money and enables you to create more content and stuff. So I get that they didn't want to sell like all that t-shirts or action figures or whatever, which you wouldn't do. But you so I was sort of half on board with that. I was like, I get that. But of course, like, you know, you have a character like SpongeBob SquarePants or the Fairly Odd Parents, like you're going to make toys out of that, you know, and you're not exploiting anybody. You're doing what any company would do with your branding. And that's not really that cynical to do that. You know, I'm sure Tom Kenny doesn't mind.
It's an interesting look at the inner workings, like you said, of a network and what it means like to operate a network with a goal and with a mission as opposed to just let's make as much money as we possibly can.
Yeah. With an actual like ideal, I suppose.
Sure.
You know, here's what we want to do. And we are primarily focused on that. And we just want to be successful enough to keep making this show. And it's like, that's the sort of stuff that if they were in a movie, I'd be like, well, that's sweet and everything, but your network's going to get shut down. And it's like, you want that, because these days it's all just like, must make money, do not care, you know.
But you do always hear stories of like, you know, what comes to mind is like Young Justice, which was doing really well in the ratings over at Cartoon Network a few years ago, and then was canceled because the toys didn't sell. So you're making the show for the toys and not for the art. And that's not to say that the creatives weren't. The creatives were making it for the art, but the network didn't care. And so it's cool to see that this network, that Nickelodeon in the early 90s was on board to say to their creators, have fun, make what you want to make, and we'll put it out. Like, we'll put it out there and do what you want to do. And so that's where like Ren and Stimpy gets to be super adult and edgy and weird. And then Doug gets to be really sweet and sincere and childlike.
Yeah.
Right. And they exist simultaneously because the studio, it's not all trying to fit some studio mandate. It's the studio saying to creative people, make something that interests you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
Yep. It's worth checking out for sure. I enjoyed it very much. So
yeah. Yep.
All right. That's going to be it then.
Sweet.
Cool. All right. Well, tune in next time. We'll be talking about something that we have opinions on that we're passionate about, no doubt. So
yes,
you enjoyed the episode, tell a friend, spread the word. Okie dokie. Good night, everyone.
Okie dokie.
Cheers.